be so much interest in Christian Wilkins on the open market.
A between the tackles runner who is dynamic but powerful, can wear defenses down and take pressure off of your quarterback.
Touchdown, Calvin Ridley for the touchdown. Saquon Barkley.
Big old bag of money. 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 I need that big old bag of money.
Very appropriate song there. Just 3 days until NFL free agency begins at noon Eastern on Monday. Lots of news coming in. Teams looking to make moves before the new league year. As we welcome you to NFL Live on this Friday, we have insider Jeremy Fowler here with all the latest in the studio. Of course, Mina Kimes and Bill Barnwell with us throughout the hour. So let's begin with the Russell Wilson tour. Has officially begun. Adam Schefter reporting that Wilson is visiting today with the Steelers and that he spoke with the Giants yesterday as the free agent-to-be explores possibilities for a new NFL destination. Wilson expected to meet with other teams, including possibly the Raiders, according to sources. He was granted permission, as you know, by the Broncos to meet with teams in their home cities ahead of his expected release by the Broncos on Wednesday. Jeremy, what can you tell us about these meetings? I think the Giants was kind of a surprise to
folks. It was a surprise. I checked with a source involved. They said the meeting was, quote, very positive. Another one used the word exploratory, which was in Adam Schefter's report, which makes sense. That's kind of where the Giants are. This is a quarterback you can sign for the league minimum, and I'm told that Wilson is motivated to sign at a low number for his new team because of all the money that Denver owes him. So his market is fairly robust as a result, where people at least want to chat with him, see what he offers. The Giants, I'm told, are certainly comfortable with Daniel Jones being the quarterback in 2024. They're also looking at the landscape, potential draft, potential veteran like Wilson. So he's highly motivated. They fit the criteria of a team that's won before. He wants to go somewhere that can set a standard for him.
I mean, who can blame Joe Shane, right, for turning over every stone, especially at that price? All right, so let's get Mina and Bill back in here. Let's start with the Giants. Daniel Jones, we know he's rehabbing that torn ACL. He doesn't have any guaranteed money after this season. Mina, what do you think of this as a fit?
I understand it from New York's perspective, given how little Wilson will cost. I don't understand it so much from Russell Wilson's perspective. Given that Daniel Jones is going to count over $40 million against cap, seems unlikely that Russ would come in and win the job outright. Perhaps they would have a quarterback competition or be open to it. And also, as we saw last year, this is a very tricky situation in New York, especially the offensive line, which we're going to address later, is a major issue. Russell Wilson is a quarterback who takes a lot of sacks. That doesn't strike me as a great football marriage. However, he might not have that many options, in which case New York could be on the table. So I understand the idea that it's exploratory, given that it could end up there eventually.
Yeah, probably not Russell Wilson's first choice of possible landing spots, but there is some logic here. If you think about a coaching staff that's going to get the most out of a quarterback, Giants stand pretty high on that list. Remember, they took Daniel Jones from being a guy who had his fifth-year option declined to a guy who got more than $80 million guaranteed after the 2022 season. And last year, after Daniel Jones got hurt, they won games with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. They have managed to get the most out of limited pieces at receiver, along the offensive line, and at quarterback. So if Russell Wilson is hoping to maximize his talents in a new spot, wouldn't fault him for at least having a conversation with the New York Giants.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, why wouldn't anybody get a Super Bowl winning quarterback at a bargain basement price? What about the Steelers? What do we know about that meeting today?
Well, he's in the building today. I do know that the Steelers have Russell Wilson's attention because he wants a team that not only has won, but has won consistently. And the Steelers are in the playoffs virtually every year in that conversation with Mike Tomlin. They have weapons. They have everything they need, but the proverbial quarterback. And so he believes he could slide in there. But what's complicated is coming out of the combine, I was getting a strong sense from sources that they were going to give Kenny Pickett another chance, or at least were strongly flirting with that. They had offensive coordinator Arthur Smith went down to South Florida, meet with him extensively. They had a great meeting. So the process of rebuilding Pickett is underway at the same time. So they're sort of going two paths at once here.
Yeah, it was really rocky last year. But like you said, maybe with a new OC in there, who knows? And the whole thing just seems so awkward bringing Russell Wilson into any situation. But what do you think, Mina?
This one makes a little bit more sense to me for both sides. But looking at it from Russell Wilson's perspective, very nice group of skill players. Wilson still throws a beautiful deep ball, and it's easy to imagine him launching bombs to George Pickens outside the numbers. He also is mobile. We saw that last year, actually. He was more mobile than the prior year, and I think that's something that Arthur Smith, their offensive coordinator, values. Something that Smith also wants to do, though, is attack the middle of the field, which is an area that Wilson doesn't really throw to lately. Now, neither does Kenny Pickett, so when you're considering the competition, it's not like he is a much better fit for Arthur Smith's offense. So there's some mismatch, but there's also some things to like, and if I was Wilson, I would strongly consider Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's not a perfect schematic fit, but certainly in the way that the Steelers win games, it feels like Russell Wilson is a good fit in terms of what he can still do well, and that's protecting the football. Last couple of years, the Steelers, really the only way they've won games has been by either winning or tying the turnover battle. They're 0-11 when they've lost the turnover battle over the past couple of seasons. And Russell Wilson last year was not a great quarterback by any means in Denver, but he did do a good job of protecting the football. 12 of his 15 starts, he managed to either turn the ball over no times or just one time. So for the Steelers, that Mike Tomlin magic, some of that weird stuff where we don't know how they're 6-1 at the midpoint of the season, I think Russell Wilson can keep that up stylistically, even if, again, he's not the perfect fit in terms of what Arthur Smith wants to do on the offensive side of the football.
It just seems like whatever the situation is, though, there needs to be some clarity. You know, is he going in there as a starter? Is he going in there competing for a starting job? Is he going in there as a backup? What are you? Yeah, I know so, you wanted to add something in the middle of that discussion.
Well, I think they're sorting all that right now, because I was told he got in the building about an hour ago. So the meeting is happening right now this afternoon. So they haven't got a gauge of how this is going to go yet exactly. Those exact questions are being answered right now.
Yeah, very interesting. And obviously the Steelers were busy earlier today as well.
Yeah, right? Patrick Peterson, Pro Bowl cornerback. He's had good time in Pittsburgh and obviously some great years in Arizona. He is on the way out, released today. So the Steelers save almost $7 million on the salary cap. So I was told this was strictly a business decision. They loved him there, was great in the locker room, good veteran player. They want to create a little more cap space so they can go sign more players next week. So it's truly that simple.
I mean, he is one of my favorite all-time players. And he actually had to move to safety for the last four games of the season because they had some injuries there and said he might consider that.
He was good for them.
He said he wants to be a starter. We'll see what the market bears. All right, Jeremy, lots more to come, including the future of Kirk Cousins. Biggest question in the quarterback market. Talk continuing to swirl around the Atlanta Falcons, a team that we all know is in desperate need of a quarterback, even though Cousins is getting older, coming off that Achilles tear. His play last season certainly has teams interested with very good reason, because prior to tearing that Achilles in week 8, the numbers don't lie. He was in the midst of one of the best seasons of his career. His 18 touchdown passes tied for the most in the NFL. He had the second most passing yards in the league, also ranking top 5 in completion percentage. So much intrigue here. This is obviously the first domino to fall. So what is the latest on interest in Cousins?
Hannah, the latest is Minnesota and Kirk Cousins have left open the window that they can try to get something done before Monday's negotiating period. But talking to people around the league and with both parties, it seems to be trending that he will go to the open market at this point, where Atlanta would most likely be waiting. The interest is real. It depends on the price point. I'm told that they have to make a, quote, budgetary decision. Are they willing to go to that stratosphere to pay him, or do they wait out maybe a Baker Mayfield if he goes to the free agency market would be a little bit cheaper, or do they go the Justin Fields route? The feeling around the league is that Atlanta walks away with one of those three players, Fields, Mayfield, Cousins.
Any of which, of course, would be a massive upgrade in a wide-open division. So, Mina and Bill, we want you to play GM for us just for a moment. Bill, make the pitch for Cousins going back to Minnesota.
All right, this is an easy one to me. It's 18-3-87. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, and TJ Hockenson. None of the other teams out there are going to give Kirk Cousins that same caliber of playmaker that he's going to have in Minnesota for the next couple of years. And on top of that, we already know he fits in the scheme. We already know he's comfortable with the coaching staff. He's playing his best football of his career, as Hannah pointed out, before the injury last year. And the defense, which had been the problem for the Vikings, has improved. It jumped to 13th in scoring defense after being in the bottom quarter of the league the prior three seasons. So we've made upgrades, Kirk. You don't have to go anywhere. You can stay home. Just throw the ball to Justin Jefferson 200 more times for the next few years.
Yeah, they got to take care of Justin Jefferson too. All right. Mina, make the pitch for Cousins to go to the Falcons and play for Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson's offense.
Yeah, Kirk, moving is all about location, and we live in the best neighborhood in the NFL. I'm not talking about Georgia. I'm talking about the NFC South. Come to our division, win the division. You will become the favorites if you become our quarterback for good reason. It's so easy to imagine Kirk launching bombs to Drake London, deep in-breakers after faking handoffs to Bijan Robinson. He's a really nice pairing with our new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, who, of course, comes from the McVay tree like Kevin O'Connell did in Minnesota. And on the other side of the ball, since we are not going to spend that number 8 pick on a quarterback, since we're bringing you in, we can spend it on an edge rusher, maybe Dallas Turner, continue upgrading the defense, which took a big leap last year. This is truly a roster that it is a quarterback away, and Kirk, come be that quarterback.
By the way, first of all, I love that. I mean, right there, I'd be signing up for the Falcons. But Atlanta's a pretty good place to live, regardless of football. Yes, we know his wife is from there. His in-laws are there. So lots of other reasons, too. And we're just getting started on NFL Live. The Cowboys defense took a step back last season, as we all know. And Mina is back. She's going to tell us one free agent that could be the missing piece in Dallas. Plus, the Rams looking to build off that surprisingly successful season. Find out why Bill believes they're already off to a good start with that process. That's up next on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
What a stacked card. UFC 299 is Saturday night, highlighted by the bantamweight title main event. The main card begins at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on pay-per-view, with the prelims starting at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ESPN News and ESPN Deportes. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. All right, time to open those Fowler files, our top stories with Jeremy Fowler. Let's get started in New England, Jeremy.
Yeah, Hannah, a lot of dollars being thrown around. Let's start with Hunter Henry, tight end, staying in New England on a 3-year deal worth around $27 million, max value of $30 million. This was key because New England was looking at all the top tight ends, including Dalton Schultz. When Schultz went back to Houston, they decided to zero in on Henry, a reliable pass catcher for whoever the quarterback is. Jaden Daniels, one of the draft picks. Still got Mac Jones on the roster, although that could change. They could look to trade him. We'll see what
TBD.
Happens. Now you got the Saints. Tyrann Mathieu, a new reworked deal. He was not a free agent, but the Saints needed cap space and considered him a cornerstone-type player on their back end. They've been making a lot of moves lately, including some cap cuts, but wanted to keep him around 2 years, $13 million. So that brings his cap hit down to below $6 million, which is good for the team as they try to get some flexibility and sign some players in the near future. And this is a great story. Kevin Dotson, Rams guard. The Rams were working on a new deal for him for weeks. Finally came through the pipeline last night. 3 years, $48 million, 32 guaranteed. That is a very strong deal for all these other guards that are trying to get money. You know, Jonah Jackson in Detroit, Robert Hunt in Miami. They're like 8 or 9 teams that are trying to sign a big money guard. So Dotson set them up nicely. Former Steeler was having a bit of an identity crisis, was playing left guard, right guard, eventually traded for a late round pick. Now he balled out and he's in a great spot.
Yeah, I know Bill's got more on that in just a second, but Dotson, obviously a key piece of that Rams offensive line, which did such a great job protecting Matthew Stafford last season, as Stafford was pressured at the 6th lowest rate in the NFL. That's key for Stafford. He posted a QBR of 75 when he had a clean pocket. That ranked 8th in the NFL, but when he was under pressure, Stafford's QBR plummeted to 21. That ranked down at 17th. Dotson has certainly praised Stafford for his toughness. And Bill, let's take a moment and appreciate what Jeremy was talking about and his unique path in the NFL.
Yeah, very fascinating story here with Kevin Dotson that Jeremy alluded to. He goes to the Steelers. They're typically a zone running team. You want to be a little more athletic, a little less physical up front. Doesn't really find a great fit there. The Rams, on the other hand, they're a zone heavy team. Most of the Sean McVay era, last year, they make a change. Move to more of a gap scheme. You want to be a little more physical, a little bigger up front. They go out and trade for Kevin Dotson before the year. And it's like a match made in heaven. Sean McVay gets his guard. Matthew Stafford's protected. Kevin Dotson posted one of the lowest pressure rates of any guard in football last season. They get more physical up front. Kyron Williams has a big year. Just felt like Kevin Dotson always belonged in Los Angeles. Just didn't realize it until he got there. Great fit of player and team. Happy to see it continuing for the years to come.
Yeah, a lot of positive vibes coming out of the Rams organization. I know they have a lot of free agents on the defensive side. Mina, what do they need to do this offseason? What should a top priority be?
Well, they're positive vibes because they're way ahead of schedule, Hannah. Just to remind people, this time last year, when we were talking about the Rams, nobody thought they were going to be a playoff team. Very few people. They were rebuilding after going all in to win the Super Bowl, but they were ahead of schedule because of a player you see there, Puka Nacua, the performance of Kyron Williams, Matthew Stafford, the offense was amazing. It's the defense that I'm focused on. A unit that, by the way, was basically average last year, which is really impressive given how young it was. And they seem to have landed on some really good young players, especially on the defensive line, Kobe Turner, Byron Young. To me, the focus now is adding to that core. Particularly in the secondary, I would be eyeing cornerback and safety, where they do have a free agent in Jordan Fuller, as areas that I would focus on improving both in free agency and the draft. But make no mistake, these Rams are in a very good position because of last year's draft.
I mean, you mentioned Kobe and you mentioned Puka. They had such a great draft last year. They have the 19th overall pick this year. This is actually the first time since 2016 that the Rams get to make a first-round pick, which is crazy to think about all those trades. Okay, with the start of free agency just 3 days away, we're focused on some big names, but there are some under-the-radar players that could present some good value. So, Bill, give us a running back you have your eye on.
Yeah, I really like Zach Moss of the Indianapolis Colts. I love the advanced stats. I'm going to go with one here. Rush yards over expectation. Last year, Zach Moss was the 8th best running back in football in gaining rush yards over what the NFL Next Gen stats model would have expected, given the blocking, given the quality of the defenses he was facing. Faced some tough situations, he can catch the football, didn't fumble, scored 7 touchdowns. A complete back. He might be cheaper than some of the more expensive options out there.
Okay, Mina, we know there's so many good receivers in the draft. Give us an under-the-radar free agent receiver.
I'm a huge fan of Kendrick Bourne, who was last with the New England Patriots. Bill's talking about the advanced stats that favor Zach Moss. ESPN's catch score is one where Kendrick Bourne always finishes near the top because he's so good at going up, getting the football, climbing ladder, winning at the catch point. To me, he would be an ideal piece in an offense that already has a number one wide receiver, an X receiver, and speed. He's reliable. He probably won't cost that much money. I like him as the final piece on a playoff team.
Yeah, he says he's a full go for camp. He's also said he'd like to return to the Patriots, but we will see. Coming up with the free agent frenzy only a few days away here, which NFC East team Mina thinks should go all in on L'Jarius Sneed, Super Bowl champ. You don't want to miss it.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Where do we go from here?
Dancing around and brought down back near midfield.
Well, the ball comes out.
Well, that wasn't a good decision by Russell Wilson.
Yeah, they definitely, you know, told me I was going to be benched.
This decision gives us a chance to win number 8.
Russell Wilson's going in one direction, the Broncos are going in another, and we'll see where they both wind up.
Well, Jeremy Fowler telling us moments ago that Russell Wilson is in the building in Pittsburgh following reporting by Adam Schefter that he's visiting the Steelers and spoke with the Giants yesterday as the free agent-to-be explores possibilities for his new NFL destination. Expected as well to meet with other teams, including possibly the Raiders, according to sources, after he was granted permission by the Broncos to meet with teams in their home cities ahead of his release, expected on Wednesday. So let's see what's on trend in the NFC East, beginning with that team that he visited with yesterday, the Giants. The G-men allowed 85 sacks last season, 20 more than any other team. That's also the second most sacks that any team has allowed since the stat became official in 1963, which is crazy, and it's the most since the 1986 Eagles. So, Mina, help us out here. Who's a free agent fit to help the Giants fix the O-line?
Yeah, the O-line is a problem really outside of their left tackle, Andrew Thomas. Question marks across the board, including at right tackle with Evan Brown. And to that end, because there are so many needs, I really like Michael Onwenu, who is last with the New England Patriots, as an option for them in free agency, in part because he has played multiple positions on the offensive line. I'd have to think they would start him at guard, but he has the ability to play right tackle and honestly would probably be an upgrade for them, so I wouldn't mind them just bringing him in and figuring it out. He would give them competence in a position group that has been anything but, regardless of who's playing quarterback, they need better production from that offensive line.
Yeah, the interior of the offensive line was a big problem for the Giants last year. Constantly rotating players in and out, they need stability. And I think if I look at someone who makes sense for them, it's Robert Hunt of the Miami Dolphins, who can step in, not a tackle like Onwenu, or a guy who can play tackle like Onwenu, but a guy who can step in at guard and was so valuable for the Dolphins, not just as a pass blocker, but in their running game over the past couple years. Dolphins love to get their guards out on the edge, on the outside zone plays, love to get them outside on screens, and Hunt can be that kind of player for the Giants, who also like to do that as part of their offense under Brian Daboll. So a guy who was playing his best football before suffering knee and hamstring injuries in the second half of last year, but a guy who I think can step in and be a rock of stability for the Giants, much needed at guard.
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, both their starting guards from last season are free agents at this point. All right, now on to Dallas, led by Micah Parsons. The Cowboys defense led the NFL in pass rush win rate last season. However, they struggled to defend the run, ranking 27th in run stop win rate. You try to say that. In six games that they lost, including the playoffs, the Cowboys allowed an average of 167 rushing yards per game. Ow, I know, so painful. What free agent linebacker could help the boys improve their run defense, Bill?
Yeah, I'm looking at Azeez Al-Shaair of the Tennessee Titans, and I think that Packers game told us everything we need to know. They have to get bigger and more physical and make more plays against the run. Al-Shaair specialized in that as part of an excellent Tennessee run defense last year. When he was on the field, he made nearly 25% of Tennessee's run tackles. That was second highest rate for any linebacker in football a year ago, and doesn't miss many tackles as well. One of the lowest missed tackle rates of any player in the league. Mike Zimmer loves to incorporate athletic linebackers into his blitz packages. I think in Dallas, Al-Shaair can be a guy who helps not just against the run, but also rushing the quarterback as well.
I'm going to go with a name that's actually been linked to Dallas in years past, but never ended up signing there, and that's Bobby Wagner, last with Seattle, prior to that, the Rams. Precisely because of the issue that we've been discussing, which is tackling, run defense. Wagner is still extremely steady as a tackler. You saw that in Seattle. He's also been durable for them. And I think for a unit that is so good in coverage and getting after the quarterback and has such a specific single issue problem, bringing in a guy who's a specialist in that particular issue makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and if you want a culture change there in Dallas, I mean, Wagner's such a leader. 33 years old. He led the NFL in tackles last season. He's defying father time. All right, now on to Philly, where the Eagles collapsed on the backstretch of the season, losing 6 of their last 7. That defense, it was an issue all season long, specifically the pass defense, as Philly allowed the 3rd highest QBR in the NFL. So, Mina, help us out here. Who's a free agent fit for Philly to help fix that D?
I've got a reunion in mind in the secondary. I'd like them to bring back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who was with Detroit, was injured for the most of last season, came back at the very end, struggled a little bit coming back from the injury, but should be healthy and really had his best play with Philadelphia. So much production on the ball, but also brings an attitude, a nastiness to the back end that, frankly, at times felt missing last year. I like the pairing of him with their young safety. Sidney Brown comes in to me and helps shore up a pass defense that really struggled last year.
Yeah, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, best trash talker in the NFL. Much needed for the Eagles. I have a different kind of reunion, though. I'm reuniting the defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, with a player he helped break out in Denver, and that's Justin Simmons, who was surprisingly cut by the Broncos a couple days ago. And Justin Simmons, even though the Broncos' defense was not great last year, when they were great, it was usually because Justin Simmons was making plays. Their QBR was nearly 29 points better when Justin Simmons was on the field last year. He's a guy who I think Vic Fangio can just rely upon in the back end to know, okay, I can do all the split safety looks. I can do all the spinning after the stop I want, because I trust that my safety is going to be in the right place at the right time. Justin Simmons is a smart player and also a playmaker who can create takeaways for that Eagles defense. A little old in the secondary with 3 players on the wrong side of 30, but Justin Simmons is still playing at a very high level.
Yeah, I mean, they were together for 3 years. I love what you guys are doing, the reunion thing, just bringing people back together full circle. Let's finish it up with the Commanders entering free agency with more than $92 million in cap space. That is the most in the NFL. They need all that money. They have to address a lot of needs. And on the defense, the Commanders allowing an average of 30.5 points per game last season, nearly 4 points worse than any other team. Of course, we know all about the 2 key trades they made at the deadline. Bill, what free agent could help start to fix the Commanders' defense?
Okay, well, I'll give you one more reunion since the last one went over so well. Dorrance Armstrong, who was with Dan Quinn in Dallas last couple years, has played at a really high level, 16 sacks over the last couple years, while only playing about 45% of the defensive snaps. The Commanders' defensive end rotation basically empty after trades and free agency. They're going to have to add multiple pieces. I'm sure Dan Quinn would love to bring Micah Parsons with him to Washington. Don't think that's going to pan out, but the next best thing might be bringing some of the guys who have excelled next to Micah Parsons, giving them larger roles and seeing if one of them breaks out into a starting defensive end.
I like that one a lot. Yeah, pass defense is an issue. I'm going to go on the back end. I would have them bring back their safety, Cam Curl, who's excellent, versatile. And then in a bigger move, trade for the Chiefs corner, L'Jarius Sneed, and then extend him. Bill mentioned Dan Quinn's the head coach. We saw in Dallas, he likes to play a lot of man coverage. L'Jarius Sneed is one of, if not the best, press man corners in the NFL. And that's a position that's really been an issue for Washington in recent years. It's a lot for a corner in a very thin cornerback market, but they have the resources to do so. So much cap space, and I have to think they would be, to me, one of the few teams in the NFL that could afford to pull this off.
Yeah, although you think there is going to be a pretty big list of suitors for Sneed in a tag-and-trade scenario, and bringing that championship cred is just an added bonus to everything he can do on the field. Still to come, we're going to stay with the Chiefs. They made 2 big moves this week by locking in some of their key players, but what does it all mean for Chris Jones? Jeremy updates us with the latest, keeping up with the Joneses on NFL Live.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to NFL Live. The two-time defending champion Kansas City Chiefs have re-signed Drew Tranquil to a three-year, $19 million deal, $13 million guaranteed. His first season in KC was a success. Standout, rushing the passer, solid in pass coverage, stepped up when Nick Bolton was injured. As we're back with Jeremy Fowler, where do things stand now with Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed?
Well, the Chiefs are trying, and people around the league I speak to believe that Chris Jones will eventually take the Chiefs' offer because they've gotten it to a good spot, if not at $30 million a year, somewhere close, right? Now, if he became a free agent, he could probably top that. He's the best blue-chip player in this entire class, but the feeling is that it would be at least a mild surprise that they didn't get something done because of the affinity they have for each other, the success they've had. And the Chiefs, to a point, are willing to pay him whatever they can. And then you got, you know, L'Jarius Sneed. That's a big issue right now.
What's going on with this?
Yeah, because you have several teams that are high-end cornerback shopping. Mm-hmm. Detroit comes to mind. Heard a little bit of Miami, a little bit of Minnesota. There are six or seven teams that have called the Chiefs to inquire about a franchise tag and trade. So the Chiefs, of course, have put that tag on him, $19.8 million. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get a good pick for him. Can they get a first-round pick? I don't know the teams would do that. Second or third round pick might be more of a good, safe range where they could create a deal and then Sneed can negotiate a new contract with his new team.
Yeah, I mean, Mina said she would love to see him with the Commanders as well in our last segment. So, I mean, Mina, if they, let's say they do trade Sneed, how do you think that that could impact their draft?
I would hope that they would get a second because given the Chiefs' Super Bowl aspirations, if it was a third, part of me thinks better off just playing him, getting the comp pick later. Yeah. But in any case, while I know we want the Chiefs to get a wide receiver, is obviously a big storyline last year because of the struggles of the position, I can't help but think if Sneed walks out the door, they should focus on cornerback in the at the end of the first round. Not just because of the need, but really because of this draft as I see it. It is so deep at wide receiver, Hannah. You could get, I believe, a really, really talented pass catcher in the second round. Cornerback, it's a good position, but less so. And I think for the Chiefs, which have been so, the team has been so good at drafting and developing corners, not just Trent McDuffie, who is obviously the biggest name and is fantastic, but guys like Jalen Watson, Josh Williams, Chamari Corner was a DB who played really well this year. To me, the opportunity to get another young corner and put him under Steve Spagnuolo would be very tempting.
You mentioned Steve Spagnuolo, and he's someone I think we really need to pay more attention to here, just in terms of the flexibility that he and Andy Reid allowed the Chiefs to build the roster however they want under Brett Veach. Remember, early in the Patrick Mahomes era, I should say, the Chiefs had a ton of money invested at wide receiver. They had an expensive defensive end rotation. They had expensive linebackers. They were basically going with very cheap cornerbacks and a modestly cheap offensive line. Now that's all shifted. They're spending a lot at tackle. They're spending nothing at wide receiver, for better or worse. And cornerback, right now at L'Jarius Sneed's franchise tag, has become more of a priority for the Chiefs. So I think what makes this such a special organization is that you have some teams around the NFL where they have to have guys in certain roles at certain positions to make their coaches work. With Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid, they look at their roster, whatever it is, wherever they're spending money, they can get the most out of the talent they have. And that's not something every organization around the NFL can do. So that gives the Chiefs a lot of flexibility as they approach the Chris Jones and L'Jarius Sneed situation. If Chris Jones gets a better offer elsewhere, they can bring back Sneed on an extension and go with that. And if Chris Jones does come back, they can move on from Sneed and trust that they can draft and develop at cornerback as well.
Yeah, and to your point, and actually something that Mina referenced, the Chiefs had the third most defensive snaps played by first or second year players, which really speaks to what you were saying. All right, a free agency negotiating period. Again, that begins Monday at noon Eastern. So let's take a look at some under-the-radar free agents on the defensive side of the ball. Mina, give us an edge rusher that could present good value.
I'm a huge fan of Andrew Van Ginkel of the Dolphins, not just because his name is fun to say, but because he really stepped up last year when some of their edge rushers went down with injury, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb. He had 8 sacks, but finished 20th in ESPN, probably 6 sacks, 20th in ESPN's pass rush win rate metric. 20th in pressure percentage. He's athletic, he can cover, he can play the run. I see him as a really, really nice below market edge option for a lot of teams in free agency.
Okay, Bill, how about an under the radar cornerback? A lot of teams could use one.
Yeah, I'm going to lean towards Darius Williams here, formerly of the Jacksonville Jaguars, who was a cap casualty earlier this week. And that's not about his play. It's about the salary and maybe the age. But he was very good last year. According to the NFL's next-gen stats, allowed a passer rating of 68 as the nearest defender in coverage. That was 6th best of any cornerback in football last season. And the guy who comes to mind from here is maybe a comp from recent years, is James Bradbury, who was a cap casualty with the Giants, didn't have a trade market necessarily, but got to the Eagles, really put that defense over the top. I think Darius Williams, who's now 30, but still playing at a high level, can maybe be that guy to put a defense over the top elsewhere after leaving the Jaguars this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, since y'all are all about reunions, I don't know. What about going back to the Rams? We won a Super Bowl. Never know. Coming up next.
There you go.
Yeah. See, I can do that too. We can all play this game, right? Justin Fields is still on the Bears roster with the start of free agency looming. Find out who Bill believes Chicago should be looking to strike a deal with next. We have a great lineup for you on Saturday. Put all your other plans aside. We have the second game of our ABC NHL doubleheader. The Bruins hosting the Pens at 3 Eastern. Then Carolina and Duke tipping off at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN. Celtics Suns, our ABC primetime game. And the Stack UFC 299 main card that begins at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific on ESPN Plus. Pay-per-view. New on NFL Live, our Bucks reporter Jenna Lane spoke with Mike Evans earlier today on his confidence level and free agent quarterback Baker Mayfield returning to Tampa, saying, quote, "I'm extremely confident. I'm not 100%, but he played really great for us last year. The city took him in. The players loved him. Hopefully we'll get him back, but he should do what is best for him." Close quote. Okay, so we know Evans got his deal worth up to $52 million. Jeremy, open up that notebook again. What is the latest with Baker?
Yes, Hannah, the Bucks are hoping that Evans and Mayfield are a package deal. What I know right now is that Mayfield and the Bucks are in active talks on a contract extension, but they have not made enough progress to get close to a deal. But as was told to me, hey, we got 3 days before Monday at noon. Hopefully we can hash something out. So that's the hope and belief that Mayfield will be back there. But make no mistake, if he gets to free agency, he will have suitors. Depending on where Cousins falls, he could be the backup option for several teams. Then you got the Patriots, so you see Mac Jones could be on the move at some point. I'm told the Patriots will be pretty busy. They almost, in free agency, they almost have to be. They got like $90 million in cap space, but expect them to go in on Calvin Ridley, potentially try to sign him, put in a bid there. Expect them to sign at least one marquee defensive guy. And then possibly a stop-back quarterback, like, you know, maybe a Jacoby Brissett comes to mind. They'll be in that market as well. Then you got Derrick Henry with the Titans. So sources are telling me that it is unlikely that Henry returns to the Titans. That door is not completely closed, but it's looking like he will hit the open market and go elsewhere. Baltimore is a team I've heard a little bit from some other teams around the league. They believe that's a fit. Baltimore has done legwork on all the top running backs. So imagine him in the backfield with Lamar Jackson in the red zone. Could be fun. He will have suitors. But really, the running back, you got 6 to 7 guys that can all play, Saquon, of course. Mm-hmm. Who's going to jump out there first, do the first deal?
A Steelers made another cut today, too.
Yes, Allen Robinson. So they save $10 million in the salary cap. He's been a really steady player in the league for a long time, but that was destined to happen because of the cap savings.
Got so two of my agent. Favorite players today, Allen Robinson and Patrick Peterson. Boo. Well, I hope they continue on. All right, meanwhile, the Bears making news, signing cornerback Jalen Johnson. That was the big news yesterday to a 4-year deal, getting slightly more than he would have over the next 2 years under the tag, guaranteed $43.8 million and then less on the back end. So the Bears, they do a great job locking up a great young defensive player, doing it way ahead of that deadline of mid-July. Key piece of the Bears defense, quietly one of the best in the NFL during the second half of last season. During their last eight games, the Bears, this went so under the radar, but they held their opponents to just over 17 points a game, the best in the NFL during that time. How did they do it? They just forced a ton of turnovers. 19 takeaways during that stretch. That was second most in the NFL. And as Adam Schefter pointed out yesterday, they've made huge investments at all three levels of that defense over the calendar year. They signed Tremaine Edwards. They signed Montez Sweat to four-year deals. So, Bill, how does this latest contract strike you, this Johnson deal?
It's an interesting one because it's kind of uncommon for franchise tag players. Jalen Johnson had a $19.8 million franchise tag, signs a deal where the average annual salary is $19 million per year. 19 is less than 19.8. And that rarely happens with franchise players, but a couple of reasons why I think it makes sense here. Number one, Jalen Johnson is a zone-heavy corner. The Bears are one of the most zone-heavy teams in all of football, and that's going to reduce your market because man teams probably not looking at Jalen Johnson as a significant addition. The bigger one to me, injuries. Jalen Johnson has missed 14 games over his four-year career with various injuries. He's been a good player. Last year was his best season by far, but he has to stay healthy for this to keep up. So from his perspective, understand taking basically two franchise tags to get this deal done. And from the Bears, hey, you lock up a young player for 4 years. You're a little more flexible with your money. I think it makes sense for both sides.
Yeah. I really like a lot of things the Bears have done in terms of rebuilding their defense, including this deal with Jalen Johnson. For me, you know, when you get a contract, you're looking at a few things. The player, he's been excellent when he's healthy, allowed the second lowest passer rating in football among starting corners as the nearest defender per Next Gen Stats. He's a great fit, as Bill said, for Matt Eberflus's zone-heavy defense. And then from the market perspective, you know, just looking around free agency, cornerback is really thin. So the fact that they were able to lock up one of the better options, homegrown player, is excellent. I look back to last year when they traded for Montez Sweat in a similar fashion. Extremely productive player, continued to be productive for them. Again, a very good fit for Eberflus's defense, that 4-3, doesn't blitz too much. And when you look at the market, they had to give up assets to go get him. But in doing so, they got out ahead of free agency. And I think he would have been one of the better options available, certainly, you know, in the top two or three or so. So, you know, this is the Bears defense that was really not great only a couple of years ago. So the fact that they've been able to turn it around in this fashion and find players that are such a good fit for what the head coach wants to do, I think it's just a really impressive job by Ryan Poles, their GM.
Okay, so let's see if they're going to continue that. All right, so far, so good. Yeah. But we have the question of Justin Fields and his future still looming over the franchise. What's the latest on the potential trade market there?
Well, the Bears have continued to stay patient. I'm told that they are prepared to maybe let a domino or two fall if they have to. Because you got to consider, right, if Kirk Cousins does resign with Minnesota, Baker Mayfield back to Tampa, Atlanta has that need, and that would be the perfect fit. That could drive up the price a little bit, and there will be others as well. So nothing is imminent as far as I know at the moment, but I'm told it is very fluid. Something could shake out certainly in the next week. They were hoping before the new league year, but
yeah, that's what Ryan Poles had said, right. I know, at the combine.
But that's exactly. That's an artificial deadline. Mm-hmm. Most teams I talk to believe they can get a day two pick for him, second or third round.
Okay, I mean, you have to know what the market is, what the full market is, and we don't know what Cousins is going to do, but let's play a little game, shall we? Okay, Bill, let's say that Cousins goes to Atlanta. Let's say Russ, who's in the building, right, in Pittsburgh today, right, Jeremy now. Says, let's just say he goes to Pittsburgh. What options do you like for Fields?
I'm going to throw one out there, and this is going to sound strange, but hear me out. It is the Minnesota Vikings, who I played the GM of earlier on this show. I do like the fit for Fields and the Vikings. Over the last couple of years, Kevin O'Connell's offense has ranked sixth in the NFL on throws 20 more or yards downfield, those deep passes. And that's with changes at quarterback, changes at receiver. They've managed to get that to work. And for Justin Fields, it's what he's best at, going back to his time in college. Well, even last year, 10th in the NFL in QBR on deep throws. Now, the Bears don't typically want to trade their quarterback inside the division, but if the Vikings are the only team left standing, we've seen Kwesi Adofo-Mensah trade within the division. So why not do it again for your future starting quarterback?
All right, today is a very big day, America, because it is the birthday of one Marcus Spears at 41. And you know what happens when you hit your 40s? You know, things start to fall apart a little bit, like the coordination goes.
The knee.
Yeah, you know. So, Marcus, this is when he was out fishing. This is what happened.
It's a training video, guys. I tell him all the time. Don't lean in these chairs, please, boy. I done cracked the joke. My boy went to leaning, and he got him something to drink.
Let me tell you something, dog.
Talk to me.
This worked.
Yes.
First and foremost.
If you ever wanted to know if they work.
If you ever wanted to know they work, yeah, safety first.
Safety first.
Mina, what do you think of your NFL Live partner there?
Oh, man. Happy birthday, Swagoo. We love you. Gotta stay dry, though.
You're perfect.
It was